Greetings, fellow investigators, and welcome to our video podcast, Into the Darkness, where my friends and I play the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. I'm your host, Tom Rayleigh. The Boy Scout motto, Be Prepared, is simple and concise. It means that a scout must prepare himself by previously thinking out and practicing how to act on any accident or emergency so that he is never taken by surprise. Our scenario is entitled The Secret of Lake Swindon. It was written by Sean Little, and he'll be GMing it for us. This is a short game, so there will only be the one episode. But so the fire is lit, as you can see. The players are ready. Let's begin our journey into the darkness. Sean?
Thanks, Tom. Bit of a precursor for everyone. You arrived earlier in the day. Approximately 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You arrived, some of you together, some of you separately, doesn't really matter. It was a predetermined time, and you met with the character I'll be playing, or the NPC, Walter Sprugg. He's from the Boy Scouts of America. He's a retired military person, and he's been assisting you throughout the day, learning some little bits and pieces of what to expect in the summer. You arrived at the park. It's newly renovated. There's a beautiful giant home that used to be the Swindon family home. Beautiful cabins that have been refurbished that are there for the campers that are coming. You're getting ready, preparing for a small local jamboree that will be happening later on this summer. So I'll begin. You're sitting around a campfire at the end of not a long, but an interesting day of a little bit of training, a little bit of information gathering, a little bit of preparation. So Walter Sprugg stands before you, sits before you, up and down. He can't seem to stand still. He's got a plaid shirt on. He's got a long grizzled beard, but very short cropped hair. Military guy. Some of you have worked with him. Some of you only met him briefly. He says to you, "Okay, everyone, we had a good day. You're all settled in, I hope. We did the tour, saw the cabins that you'll be trying out tonight, and talked about the logistics, the little jamboree we'll be having later on this summer. You split up into various groups. You followed the other volunteers around him. They've gone home now. Did you get to stay? And we went over first aid, fire safety, boating safety. Tomorrow we'll be all together finally to work out the scheduled activities for the summer, like some of the games and such, and a few other things we don't need to talk about tonight. It's relaxing time." Has a sip of whiskey, puts it back in his pocket. "So we jumped right into things earlier. How about we all introduce ourselves? Let's start with you, Pete.
Well, I'm Pete O'Dell, and it's obviously not my first camping trip with the Boy Scouts. I've been a Boy Scout leader for 5-6 years now. I was a Boy Scout myself. In fact, I was an Eagle Scout. So I think I know my way around the camp pretty well. It is a beautiful, beautiful camp. Next.
Excellent. Thanks, Pete. Next. Jack.
I am playing Jake Robertson. He is a police officer. He's been on the force for a good 30 years, about 18 years. And he's unfortunately very fat. He's not learned how to lay off the donuts. He is 6'3" and about as round as he is tall. And he has a very large beard on his face, used mainly to cover this burn scar that has unfortunately done a number on his face while he was trying to save an individual. This is his first camping trip, and him being a police officer, he was chosen to be a scout leader.
All right. Cool. Thank you very much. Victor.
I'm Victor Davenport. I'm a biology teacher at the local high school. I've been teaching for about 40 years.
40 years. My God, Victor. I retired after 30. Not teaching.
I love teaching them young kids.
Excellent. All right. Morris.
Hey, my name's Morris Michener. I run the used car lot out by the highway. I think you all know me. You all know me. Everyone knows me. Yeah, I mean, you want a bargain, you come and see me. Yeah, that's all you need to know. I just want to put something back in the community, do what I can, and help everyone as best I can. Yeah, it's all for the community. Want to do good, yeah.
You got a bit of a cold there, Morris?
Yeah, I think it's hay fever.
That's not what my division said.
Bring some issues? All right. Ted.
All right. Hey, fellas. Like Vic, I work at the high school. Retired a couple of years ago. Shop and auto tech teacher over there. Haven't been a scout for quite a while, I'll just say that. But I'm looking to get back into it, do something in my retirement that's good for the community. I've been camping with Marjorie and the kids, for a few years now. So I feel like I can bring some of that expertise and to the Boy Scouts.
Great.
Always use a good mechanic.
Yeah, I got a Dodge Dart needs some work. Come up this way again. Maybe I'll bring it over to your shop so you didn't know if there's anything I can do with it.
Well, by shop, you mean garage, but sure, I'll be happy to help you.
And if not, Morris can
sell you. And Dodge Darts will give you trouble. That's for sure.
Yeah. I got a great view. Yeah. You'll love it.
All right, Morris, you can set me up. Oh, that sounds excellent.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Come on over.
You don't need to buy a new car. We just need to fix her up.
Yeah, well, just so you know about me a little more, guys. Walter Sprug from Boston, retired Army. That's why I got the hair. Scout leader for 25 years. Spent my summers traveling around New England, a few northern states and Canada too, helping set up camps and events. Got two daughters, both, out of the house. Wife passed away a few years back doing what she loved with me, hiking in the Adirondacks. Bear attack. Yep. Friggin' hate bears. Hate bears. That's why I carry pepper spray in a 357. Now, just so you know, there are going to be some rules that they'll hand out before the jamboree. The rules are going to be no alcohol, not a rules for everyone.
Or other substances, I say, as I point over at Morris.
Yeah.
Yes, no other substances.
That's right. Kids be around. Got to keep kids get away from that stuff. No alcohol, no firearms, except, the truth be told, the scout leaders of the Jamboree, they will have access to some firearms for safety reasons, and they will be trained personnel. They'll be senior to all of you. I might be there for a few days. I might not. I'm a Red Sox fan, so if anyone wants to talk baseball, we can do that at some point.
I'm a Red Sox fan.
Absolutely. Awesome. That's just the best. All right, so here we are in central Vermont. Got a nice big property. Oddly, it's really nicely mowed it's not what we'd usually use for a scout camp, but it's really, really prepared nicely by the municipality of,
Apple Valley. Apple Valley.
Apple Valley, right. I remember. I drove through. I didn't really stop. A nice little town I see you got there. You got a library, you got a town hall, you got a grocery store, you got all this stuff. You need a small town.
It's a fine town, yes.
Looks like the property's been pretty well maintained. There's still some woods, and there's some nice cabins.
Bunch of woods, and you got some hills there. I mean, the property, there's a nice fence around it, but I mean, that fence. Find the kids while they're here. Has anyone been to a jamboree before?
Oh, sure.
Well, I know you have. You're an Eagle Scout. You've
been pretty not a Scout one, though. No.
No, I've certainly not been. God damn it, Morris.
Sorry.
Okay. So we got one who's been to a jamboree. You know what happens. Local groups show up, bunch of kids. They want to learn scouting stuff. They get away from their parents for a week or two. And they learn all kinds of fun stuff. We got a nice dock. We got some canoes and those kayak things. I don't know about those. We got the cabins. We got lots of stuff for them to do. We got people who are going to teach them about woodworking, all the usual scouting stuff. So So that's all about tomorrow. We'll figure out the schedule tomorrow. We're going to work on stuff. Somebody's going to have to volunteer to go back to town though to get some food.
That's kind of the Boy Scouts way of looking at it. What it is from our perspective is more like herd management with all those kids.
Yep.
More like herd and cats.
And safety, yeah, because
Scouts are pretty good kids. I mean, they're not. They've been around. Some of them are new. Some of them have been around a bit. They'll help herd themselves too.
Yeah, most of them have some pretty good self-discipline, but they can still get into some interesting things.
Yeah.
Oh, you're telling me. Caught a couple of those little buggers in the trash can once.
Yeah.
Two o'clock in the morning.
I'm afraid that I was raised with that sort of philosophy that if there's not a sign that says "do not do this," then I go right ahead and see if I can do it.
I think I saw you doing it.
Do not jump off the roof.
Kids will be kids.
Kids will be kids. Yeah. So look, one of the things you'll be doing is you guys will be heading up. There's three cabins, three troops of 16 boys in each cabin. There'll be some extras camping outside of the cabins. You're going to have the main leader's house, the old Swindon house.
Yeah.
That'll be the old cat. That'll be where the leaders weren't sleeping in the cabins or outside the cabins of the kids. Fires, one fire pit outside each cabin every night. And you're going to have to learn ghost stories if you don't have any already. So I got one for you. I got one. I got a whole book of them. I got a book of ghost stories back in the house. I can pull out pages and I can photocopy more for you. Look, here's a good one. Seaweed Sally. Seaweed Sally's a ghost, haunts us on the camp. You have to build up the story. You got to like drag it out. You say, years ago, she was a camper who went canoeing in the lake with a friend. You point at the lake, like even though it's not that big, you point at this lake, Swindon. It's really a pond. Exactly. Sally couldn't swim and her friend started. It's a pond, Swindon
it's
pond.
It's a pond. It's a pond.
You can skate on it. Her friend and her started goofing off in the boat. I mean, this is a good way to teach them about boating safety. They're shaking the boat, and her friend's shaking it to scare. And Sally freaks out, stands up, screams. Boat tips over. Sally falls out. She disappeared under the water. And you build it up with more and more. And she was never seen again. Camp counselors, they say, oh, she must have drowned. We can't find her. They drain the lake. Never find her. Next year. Girl Scout camp. They come back. What are they? Girl guides? Girl guides. I don't deal with them. And they drain the lake. They never find the remains. The next day, campers are up. They're like, oh my God, Sally's friend's gone. Whatever her name is, Dolores or something. And Sally's friend wakes up. She's like, oh, why am I so wet? And she opens her eyes and sees seaweed hanging off of the bunk above her. And you bring that up. You're jumping on them. And then there's a trail of wet footprints leading at the door. You got to have that kind of story. You got to have an ending so that all the kids go, ah, it works more with girls, I guess. But so anyone else know anything scary, stories?
Why is it seaweed if it's a freshwater pond?
It doesn't matter. The kids won't want to.
One of them's going to ask. You know one of them's going to ask.
A smart ass.
Walter, you brought something up, and that's, Swindon Lake wasn't always called Swindon Lake. It used to be called Frog Pond.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Swindon family who owned the property, Dwayne Swindon, he was like the owner of the local cannery. They donated this property to the Boy Scouts, and they renamed it Swindon Lake. They built the cabins and all of that, which is really cool. Back in 1935, when the summer came, there were three troops of Boy Scouts who came here to stay for a couple days. Excuse me. Everything went fine until the second day. And they thought it would be a good idea to kind of mix the boys up a little so that they could all get to know one another. And, they did their, camping and enjoying, making crafts and stuff. And then the evening came, the fires were lit, and they started singing songs around the campfire. And as they were doing this, they were, trying to outdo each other. They got louder and made a whole lot of ruckus. And, of course, we're remote, so nobody cared. And then the full moon came out. It was a nice night, so... As I understand it, the troop leader from Cooper's Bridge yelled out, across the pond that it was time to play Night Scout. And three of the boys were chosen, one from, Camp Comanche over there, one from Iroquois over there, and one from Blackfoot right here. And each was given a lantern and a colored flag, red, yellow, and green, which they tucked into the back of their belts on their backside. And then they ran off into the woods with their lanterns. And the other boys had to attempt to take the flag and bring it back to their own leader. And the leaders had to keep the lanterns lit until their troop managed to gain all three flags. If that happened, then what they would do is they would extinguish their lantern and they would attempt to sneak back to their own campfire, thus winning the game. Well, you can imagine that this took a while. There were ambushes, there were sneak attacks and all that. And it was often the case where they would lose the flag and the whole game would just continue and go on and on. We've all probably played it. I don't know. I used to. But anyways, now this is actually a true story. These are facts about this right where we're sitting. After what seemed like ages, and all these kids were running around with their lanterns, one of the lanterns went dark, and the boys began cheering. They knew that somebody had all three flags, and they started chasing them down, and it looked like they were heading for Camp Iroquois, and all of a sudden, there was a huge blast of wind, came out of nowhere. It was a clear sky, no storm clouds or anything, and it blew sand and dust into the air. And for a few minutes, everyone was coughing and blinded. But when the air finally cleared, they all noticed that there were no longer any lanterns lit in the woods. And the scoutmaster from Paulson Mill, I thought one of you was from Paulson Mill. I'm not sure. Anyways, he yelled out, for the boys that only the team with the flag, all three flags can put out their light. But there was no response, and they waited a few minutes, but no one responded from the woods, so nobody returned. The troop leaders yelled out for the boys to come in, but no one came in. And some of the other troop members, they got their flashlights, and they started looking, but they couldn't find any trace of the boys. The police arrived. They continued to search, and all that was ever found was, I think, a broken lantern that was well off the path, and a scout's bandana tied around three flags, red, yellow, and green. And it's been 52 years, and no one's ever been able to figure out what happened to those 9 missing Boy Scouts. So some say they're still haunting the woods around here.
Wow.
But that's
up until that last little bit.
I swear to God, that's a true story.
It's absolutely true.
It's very close to actual facts, yes.
I think the ball.
That'll scare the pants off these kids, that's for sure.
Yeah, that'll scare the little buggers. The dear little angels.
Whoa, that's a good one. I heard there's something fishy about this place, but I hadn't heard that before. That's a good one.
Sure, well, yeah, that set it up. That Mr. Swindon was quite the character.
Yes, oh, really? He was indeed.
Yeah. You know, one of us or three of us should get lanterns, and when the kids are around the campfires, go running through the woods with the
lanterns. Oh, that sounds like a plan.
I'm down for that. Yeah.
One of you others that can actually run can do that.
Someone's got to stay back.
You can man the hot dogs.
I'll man the sausage. Yes.
Well, that's quite interesting. So, anybody else? No more stories. Anybody? So you say this is real? This is.
Well, that's kind of the history of this place,
huh? Oh,
well, there's also a little bit more, and I've been living in this city city, if you can call it that, for quite a while now. And, that Swindon guy, he was a real character. I take a chug of beer. That old canning factory. Some of you have been around for, a decade or so, probably remember it. It went into bankruptcy a while ago. Swindon owned that place. And, There's just some fishy stuff around that candy factory, pardon the pun. Swindon was implicated at one point for a missing maid.
That's right. That was in 1932.
For what? What was he?
His maid went missing. Mm-hmm. And that's not the only person who's gone missing related to the Swindons. Had some workers that were missing. You know, it's sort of like this continuing path that Swindon kept going down where women and workers started missing who were related to the Swindons. It was real creepy stuff.
Did anyone else just see that?
What's that?
See what?
There was like a light just went on in the woods and then went off again. It's like a flash of light.
I didn't see nothing.
I didn't see it.
Oh, it says probably a car turning around or something. Never mind.
Only the one road, but oh, wow. Interesting. So, is that all the ghost stories for the town? Nothing more squirrely stuff going on?
I've got a few stories about my ex-wife, but it's really not suitable.
I've got tons of ghost stories, so. But, you know, we don't have to tell them right now.
No, heck no. Heck no. We got lots to save them. Just keep some on the back burner for when you got the kids around the fire and they get a little antsy, but they're not quite ready for bed. You throw a story out. I'd be careful scaring the pants off some of the young ones, though. That might be one for the older ones.
Well, we don't have Cub Scouts here, do we? It's just going to be Boy Scouts, right?
It's just going to be Boy Scouts, yeah. But there's some of them, you know, they get around 13 or 14. There's still a little bit on the, you know.
I'm sure Vic can tell you these high schoolers talk about some nasty shit. I'll tell you that much.
I think
that's, I overhear some of their conversations.
I mean, the whole idea is to try to toughen them up a little, you know.
Yeah. Just toughen them up a little bit. Yes, yes.
I remember back in 1962, some of them high schoolers stole the anatomical skeleton and put it in the dean's office.
I was on that case, I think.
We're all just picturing that poor, I can just see them walking into the dean's office and there the skeleton is sitting behind the desk with a cigar.
Hey, hold on, guys. I think I saw a light out there too. Morris, did you say it was around over there?
Yeah, over there, like, wasn't that out?
Oh, come on. God damn it, Morris.
West, I guess, but yeah.
Just there to the northwest, right?
Oh. You know what you saw? You probably saw a firefly.
You're just seeing things. Some
Will of the Wisp.
Firefly the like pizza. Up.
The moon's over there, though.
Ooh. Hey, I'm gonna yell out. Hold on. Hey, is anyone out there?
How could anybody out there? This is 10 miles away from anything out here.
Well, I just want to make sure there's no lost campers or whatnot. Well,
you guys are just trying to freak us out.
I know. They're just trying to. The whole story you told, Pete. God damn it.
What color light?
Oh, it makes me so happy when people are scared.
Was that a white light or a red light? Or?
I don't know.
I swear I saw something.
Oh. At this point, Jake just nonchalantly pulls out a can of Spam, opens it, and starts
not even putting it on the fire.
You know what Spam is made for? Spice Spam.
Stuff just, posing as meat.
I've just got to go and rock a piss. I'll be back in a minute.
Yeah, don't get lost in finding that light there, Morris.
No, I'll be fine. I'll be fine.
I think the light's inside of his head.
Hey, I saw it too. Just because he's got an issue doesn't mean all of us do.
You've just been influenced.
It may be that he's a little bit too like this that it's actually rubbing off on you.
I'm pretty sure he's into that. He's into that crap. I couldn't even stay in character for that one.
Oh, yeah, Kleenex that's, there.
That's better. I feel much. I feel relieved after that. Yep, that's great. Yep. Drain the old lizard. Yep, that's right. Yep, yep. So what's going on? We see this light again. Anything going on? Have you seen it? Have you seen it? Have you seen it?
No.
No one's seen it.
I've seen Morris.
Morris, how
now, did you now I'm get, starting to second guess myself.
Morris, how did you get to become a troop leader?
Well, you know, I got to thinking one day, and I thought, you know, kids have parents. Parents buy cars.
And, so it's, know, an angle. It's an angle.
Not exactly the most honorable reason to be a scout leader. I'm a
trustworthy guy, and, you know,
doing
my bit for the community. And
well, look, these kids look up to us as role models. You got to be gentle, all right?
Yeah, I got all sorts of skills I can teach kids.
I'm sure Officer Robertson would be really interested in
finding out
what your special skills are.
Oh, yes, them special skills of eating them powdered donuts while we're away.
Yeah, I think Morris knows a lot about powder.
Holy shit.
What?
I saw that too.
No, I saw something right over there towards in the northwest.
Oh, come on, Pete. That's don't tell me you're doing this.
I saw it more in the west.
You know, sometimes seeing a bright light could be the sign of a brain tumor coming on.
Okay, no, look. It's spring.
I don't want a brain tumor.
We're freaking each other out. What we saw had to be just like fireflies. This is firefly season. It's gotta be fireflies.
That's what it is.
We're in a freaking pond right here.
You're probably right. Yeah.
I don't see any fireflies.
If you say so. Well, yeah, but the fireflies don't just go on and then go off. And fireflies are like little yellowy dots, and I mean, they're great. You know, I'll sometimes sit and watch the fireflies all night.
Well, there are fireflies there. There's definitely fire. I've seen fireflies last night when I was here alone, and it was really hot, but they're around the fringes of the forest. Like, just flickering when they flash your light, they turn on.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always, and the moon's coming out too. You get reflection off of wet leaves or animal eyes. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure that's it.
What do you mean animalize? What kind of animals?
Nature is an amazing thing.
It's all animals here.
It's gonna be mostly raccoons, skunks.
Yeah.
At night, raccoons and skunks. You can see possums. Yep. See possums.
Rakens, they've got
raven.
No. Raken. There's no rakens here. Rakens are in the South Pacific.
Right. That's right.
Maybe some deer. I'm imagining these woods are full of life.
I bet you're right. They're full of life.
Has anyone got a rabies shot? I mean, I've never had a rabies shot.
Now, so you don't have to worry about rabies. In the wild, most animals that get rabies get eaten by something else.
That's right.
Yeah, and then they give that rabies. Someone's
slower than you. You can just
animals, animals that actually are walking around and doing stuff, they're usually healthy.
So you're saying that, like, it's the big animals that eat other animals that are going to have the rabies? Like, there's a rabid bear out there?
It's going to kill the bear.
Why are you out here if there's a rabid bear out here? Why are we out here if there's a rabid bear out here?
They wouldn't come near a campfire, Morris. God damn it.
They like spam, I hear.
They'd be afraid of Jake.
Yeah.
And the whole idea is, if you see a bear, you make yourself look as big as possible. And I honestly think Jake's as big as possible.
Well, thank you, Pete.
Jake, can you make a listen roll?
Listen roll?
You're the cop of the team?
Sure. Oh, boy. Here we go. Missed by 3. At 25, got rolled a 28.
Yes. Everyone's laughing and talking. And there's a very brief lull, and you don't hear it so much as you think, you're like, what did I? No, couldn't be. Nope. All good. You think you hear something for a second, but you don't quite.
Yeah, that's just the rumbly in my tumbly asking for more spam.
Victor,
you know, make a you spotted. Don't, Jake.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob, you have a heart attack out here. It's going to be a while before we can get you to the hospital.
Oh, don't worry. I'm healthy as a horse.
Made it.
All right. Victor is rolling his eyes, shaking his head at the idea of all of this talk. And then, Victor, you're just staring off into the woods thinking about marking some papers this weekend before you get back to school. And boop, you see a light deep in the woods to the west. And could you make a listen roll, please?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Got it.
You hear laughter. Very quiet, very faint, like giggling laughter, just for the briefest of like 2 seconds.
I think there's some kids out in the woods.
What? Really? Ah, shit, we got some drunk teens out there.
Well, that's if possible. That's so, I better get to my duty.
All right, Jake, I'll come with you. I know how to handle these youngins.
All right, just stay behind me if they get too rowdy.
If they've got any beer or reefers, you make sure you...
I'll confiscate it, yeah.
I'll tell you what, guys. While you guys go out there, I'm going to head over to the parking lot and see if there's some teenagers parked over there. I mean, their car is there. If it's there, I'll wait there for them, and if they come back...
Good idea, Pete.
I'll be sitting there with my hands crossed on their hood.
All right. Briefly share the map.
Yeah. Look, I tell you what, Pete. I'll come with you.
Okay.
Just make sure no one's been.
Actually, the question is where are we right now?
That's what I'm going to do.
Where are we?
Okay, so you can see the map right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You guys are camped at sea.
Okay.
That's where your campfire is, right where the sea is. Camp Blackfoot, and to the west, I'm talking about over this direction. You're camping outside of sea. This is the cabin you guys are planning on staying in, and of course that's the house where he's going to stay in. To the west, we're talking over in this direction in the woods area. You see some kind of something. This would saw it, and the northwest in this general direction. So that's in the parking lot. Of course, is there? There's paths everywhere, as you know, and that's the general layout of the property.
I guess then I'm going to have to walk along the path towards Camp B, past the Swindon home and over to the parking lot.
I'm going to be asking Victor to kind of point me out where he heard the laughing.
Vic, show us where these kiddos are at.
All right. I guess we're up for a trek in the woods.
So we
go down path towards the lights and the noise.
Yep. To the west is on the other side of just south of the cabin. Over into the deeper woods there where the white rock was.
Right. Mm-hmm. So see they're going this way around and I'm going this way around.
Yep.
So
Well I'm going with Pete because I want to go and check my car. If there's a bunch of drunk kids in the woods, I want to make sure that none of them have broken into my car. I've got some very important paperwork.
Supply. All right.
Licensing paperwork.
All right,
chalk that has been mysteriously crushed.
We've now effectively split the party.
All right. Yeah.
That's always my goal.
Always a good sign.
We can all meet up around the other side. Well, couldn't we go the same way that they're going?
No, because the path would go that way. Yeah. I imagine the kids could have worked their way through it, but
it is fairly dense. Just
probably
so
swampy over there too.
Yeah, that's
I don't know. Is this a seep? I have no idea whether this is like a seep pond or whether it's got a little creek or something feeding into it.
Well, the land slopes upwards away from it. It's a depression. It's an actual like clay depression over rock. Okay. Water builds up over time, and it's there's probably some water seeping in from below as well, like a spring fed pond. Right. Just so you know, it's stocked with trout. That's Walter's mentioned that a few times. So camping and fishing will go along well for the kids this year.
That's sweet. I love trout. Oh my god! Mm-hmm. Fresh trout over a fire. Mm. Yeah.
So those of you walking towards the up towards the house, It's a moonlit night. You can see path quite fine. I'm assuming you all have flashlights with you anyways.
Yeah.
Okay. No issues for you. You're walking along. It's moonlit night. Oh, there you go. You're set. Do they have headlamps yet? It's 1987. The path is well lit, and the moon is shining on the lake, and everything is calm and perfect. You make it to the parking lot, and there you go. Cars are there. There doesn't seem to be any sign of any other cars. It takes a few minutes to walk there. Walter tags along. Sorry, not Walter. What's his name? Walter tags Morris. Along as well.
Oh,
no, my name is Walter. Walter. Walter tags along as well. He just, you know, going for a walk. He's leaving it up to the other guys to search for kids in the woods.
So, Walter, are you staying in the big house?
You know what? My bag's with me back at the campfire. Maybe I'll stay with you guys tonight just to stay together.
It looks like a nice big place, though. I bet it's comfy.
It's been refurbished. There's office space in there for when it's not camping season, not scout season. I think the local scout office is going to relocate to here, except in the dead of winter.
I think it's a marvelous idea. It's like, let the kids sleep out on the dirt and we can sleep in the nice house.
Well, I thought you'd like to try out the cabins and see what the kids are complaining about also.
Well, of course. I mean, I slept in a cabin half my life, but you know what we could do? We could like camouflage that house so that you can't tell it's there and just tell the kids, oh, we have another camp right over here and we'll stay over there.
Or you'd have to rejig the path.
We'll watch TV and have brewskis in the fridge. And
hey, fellas, I'm just gonna jump in my car and check that all my paperwork's still in the.
Christ,
you do
just,
that.
I'll just be a second.
I hope he sleeps in the car.
All right.
Yeah, it's all there. Yeah, it's fine.
Roll up the windows, dude.
Yeah. All the papers are there.
Make sure your windows are up. You don't want to lose anything in there. So the other rest of you, the group, are you all going into the woods, or are some of you staying back at the campfire?
In the woods. I'm going into the woods.
I think all of us are. Yeah, we're all going into.
Yeah.
The
woods.
All right. Well, as you're walking along, nice moonlit night, as I said. As you approach the woods, it gets to be a little darker because of the thickness of the foliage and the time of year. And it's a little hot, even though the sun's down. It's a starry night, not a cloud in the sky. And just walking along, I mean, just in the path. I mean, you got your flashlights, you need them at some point. And so what are you doing? Just walking, just looking?
Walking, scanning around with the flashlight and occasionally going,
kids! Scrambling for your puffer. Well, you get about halfway to the White Rock, and you're so humid today.
You're doing a perfect impression of me 2 weeks ago when I went.
You see where the White Rock, we'll call it the White Rock even though it's not white. You see where there's an area of some rock outcropping. That's really what it is. It poke up through the ground. The trees are built around. Other side of the rock, no need to roll. You see a flash of light go on and off. And it's a strange light. It isn't like a regular flashlight. It's not like your mag light. It's not like your light in your house that has a slight yellow tinge. It's kind of a shimmery light. It's like the light is shaking. Like when you wave your hands in front of a TV.
Is it a specific color at all?
Silvery blue. It's like the oddest kind of.
Them damn kids must have broke into the discotheque.
It's not a natural light, say. It just looks odd. You know what? You know on that MTV. MTV, see those music videos when people are shining like laser lights through the fog, the fake fog, that really weird way it looks. That's what it looks like.
Must have been those damn kids trying to make a band. Ted,
you okay there, Jake?
What?
This is just
87.
It's just very humid out here.
Not 77, 87.
Yeah. 87 was a long time after the
MTV.
MTV was around in 87.
Yeah, it was like, had been around for a long time.
Wow. No, it's like one of those music videos with the lasers and the fog.
Sure, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Frankie like goes to Hollywood.
Houston, relax.
Whitney Houston's big now. Aha's
Rick
big
James.
Now.
Yeah.
Rick uh-huh. James, bitch.
And there is a little bit of a mist rising from the lake. You glance over in the moonlight, there's a little mist rising, and some of it in the trees as well. There's a little bit of a mist just sort of cropping up because it's been a really warm day. And you see that light just flashes on and off on the other side of the rock, and then it's gone.
Want to go check that out, Jake?
Sure.
All right, you need to sit down a little bit.
All right, you kids, quit messing around. I know your mothers.
Sure, you know their grandmothers.
Good one.
Ted, could you make a listen roll? That's your try.
I do not pass that.
Okay. All right, so you, what are you doing? You see the light, you're kind of startled
by it.
Yeah,
I'm going to point to Jake and say, how about you go that way? I'll go around the backside here.
So right, cut the little fuckers off of the pass, I see. Yeah, go on ahead, I'll catch up. Whew, I just sit
going around either side of the road. Okay,
yeah.
What are you doing, Victor?
I stumbled around and go towards the rock.
Okay. You guys approach the rock. Nothing. You go to the other side of the rock on both sides of it. Nothing.
What the hell are these kids up to?
Little pranksters. Need time in juvenile hall, I tell. Hot and humid out here, boys.
Why don't we go back to the campsite? They probably got scared off.
Victor, you want to do a listen roll, please?
Barely made it. Barely.
Okay. To the north? North-northwest, like to the north of the big rock, through the woods, you hear the sound of someone running in the woods. Like more the sound of leaves and plants brushing against someone, not so much the sound of footfalls.
All right, you dang kids, quit messing around.
What
point out that I hear them over there.
All right, let's see if we can catch them.
Oh, those little fuckers. All right. Carry on, Ted. Victor, come on.
All right. And the rest of Mick, sorry, Mick, Morris, Pete, and myself, please make a spot hit, we'll call it. Do a spot hit.
Oh, I got 16.
35 out of 50. That's a regular.
All right. Well, you can hear them yelling. You can hear, because it's a clear night. Not a touch of wind. You can hear them yelling way down below. And as you're watching,
we can hear the other leaders yelling.
Yeah, you can hear them yelling because it's sound travels and.
Well, we're actually not that far from them because we're in the parking lot. There.
Yeah, you're in the parking lot. And they're south of you now, and you can see their flashlights, like where they're looking around, the three of them. And then, as you're watching, you see this strange, shimmery kind of bluish, white light in between you and them. Bobbing away in the woods, and then you see another one bobbing away in the woods as well. You see two lights.
Can you guys see those lights?
Yeah, I think those are the kids, and they're trying to get away from our other leaders. We can head them off.
Hang on, are these just our cars though? These are just our cars.
Yeah, but it looks like they're heading that way. Maybe their car is parked down the road.
All right. That's. I'm just gonna. Well, no, I shouldn't really grab my tire iron or something.
Look. Rather than waste this time, stay here and I'll go.
I'm just staying here on my own. I'll,
you're here with Walter.
You don't want to run off. What happens if you get lost in there? Then we're going to spend all night looking for you in the woods.
I've been this guy my whole life. I'm not going to get lost. I could do this blindfolded.
Keep your flashlight on so we know where you are.
Of course. So I'm going to hop off into the truck, see if I can, you know. And I'm following all the rules that I know.
You're a former Eagle Scout, so you can swing from trees and stuff.
I'm heading around the backside of that rock that we can see.
Yep.
Shouldn't we be letting him go off there on his own? I mean, is that a good thing? I mean,
I'm a grown man.
I'm going with him.
I'm not staying here on my own. Then I'm going too. I'm not staying on my own.
Catching kids is what we do when we're at camp.
Eaten by a rabid bear.
I'm of course 27, so I'm not waiting for you.
Yep.
Probably like you guys are gonna have to catch up. All right.
So you're into the woods. You're heading towards that rock, and you get beyond the rock. You're into some brush and some woods, a little bit more difficult to move in, and you can see the light moving towards you, and then it heads right towards those two lights. Head towards that cabin, cabin A.
Cabin A. All right. Head towards cabin A. Now, if the lights go off, I'm going to freeze and see if I can hear anything.
Make a listen roll, please. They do go off as soon as they get to the cabin.
34. That is a pass.
You hear muffled giggling, laughing, and someone going, shh.
Okay. I am going to attempt to come around the back side of the cabin, the north side of the cabin.
And, all right.
And sneak up on it and peek through the window.
Do you have stealth? Not stealth. Wrong game.
No, it is stealth.
Yeah, it's stealth.
I could do stealth. I mean, I've got 20.
Okay.
And I got 73. So I'm making too much noise. This is...
It's unknown territory. There's sticks on the ground and stuff. So you're coming around. You make a crack a stick, step on a stick, crack. Walter tries to do it as well. Let's see how Walter does. Walter, a little quieter than you, but not quite as quiet. He goes around the other side. And Morris, you're walking up as well. Are you trying to sneak or just walking?
Yeah. I don't want to be eaten by a bear.
More out of caution.
Cool. Fucking eight.
That's quiet. Word of caution. We lost you, Sean. You said word of caution and then just went dead silent.
Oh, I know. I said more out of caution.
Oh,
than
okay.
What you're doing.
I seem to be preternaturally aware of my surroundings for a moment.
The crack's making you tweak.
Have they invented crack yet? Maybe.
Yeah.
To the windows. Yeah. And you don't see anything inside.
Nothing inside.
Now skip. I got to skip back to the rest of the guys for a second. Victor and Ted.
Yes.
And who else is with us?
Jake.
Hi, Jake. Sorry, your name's not up there. So
I know.
Three of you. Jake's in behind. The other two are far more further ahead.
Yeah.
You see the two lights. One appears and they're zigwagging through the woods. They go towards the cabin, and they just kind of disappear. Like the lights go out. And as you're watching, you can see Pete come around one side and Walter go around the other side. And Morris sneaking up as well. So they're following them. They can see the lights as well. They're coming to the cabin. They sneak. They look in. And there is a massive whoosh of air from behind you. Blows your hair, blows your jackets, blows one of you off balance most likely. Dust in the air. And it blows right towards the cabin. And as it does, something like the mist you've been seeing rise from the lake rushes past you, hits the wall of the cabin, and disappears.
What the hell is that?
Well, it's just a sudden wind gust.
My hair stays perfectly in place. It's aerodynamic.
My mustache is kerfluffled.
My hat flew off.
Damn it! What the hell is some kind of dust devil or something?
I don't know. It's some freak wind.
I'm gonna go up to the other guys. You guys all right? Did you know what the hell that was? See those kids around here?
What are you talking about? Did we feel this? Did we see this or feel it too?
You felt the wind, but you didn't see the mist.
Oh, you guys are right over there. Okay. Did you see the kids? I saw a couple of kids come over here.
Yeah, we heard something over
you
here.
You saw it? We heard them.
We heard the little buggers giggling and laughing out there, and we came out to see them and saw them come toward the cabin, and then we saw you.
Yeah, they got to be around here somewhere. Is there a hidey hole in one of these cabins?
I don't know. I'm going to open up the cabin and look inside.
I think we got them trapped.
What was that, Sean?
It looks just like the other cabin. There's four sets of bunk beds, or eight sets of bunk beds, right. Fairly long. It's been recently cleaned. It smells like, I don't know, wood soap kind of stuff. And it looks really nice and clean. Yeah, that all. And there's a bench against the wall for like a table with a lamp. And just, that's it.
Okay, listen up, you kids. You can come out of hiding. We've seen you. And we want you to come out. We're not going to do anything to you. We're just going to send you home. We don't care if you guys are making out or if you were doing illegal substances. Just come out.
I give a care about that.
No, they're just kids. Let them go if they come out.
Fine.
Could everybody make a listen roll?
Okay. I'm also, this is private property. Ooh, 28.
Ooh, 98.
12.
Better than half. Hard roll. I got a hard roll.
You got a hard? Okay, yeah. That's what you needed.
Time to change the batteries in my Dell tones.
I might need some of them too.
As you're talking, and you almost feel the sound, a thump under your foot, like a vibration more than a sound underneath you. But it's a sound. You can hear it. It's more of a whoo.
There's
like someone banging their head on a board or something.
There's something under this goddamn floor. I think it's there must be
there's something. A hidey hole in
there
here.
Must be a hidey I knew hole. It.
They're hiding. Do these cabins have basements?
No, well, they wouldn't build a basement.
No, they're raised up like that far off. Well, 2 feet off the ground. On
they're holes. Underneath the cabin.
They're underneath.
There's like wood around the
side. Morris, you get down there. I get down there myself, but
Yeah, we know. We'll never get you back out again.
Well, I'll go outside and just have a look underneath with my flashlight.
Well, around the outside, beneath the floor of the cabin, like there's the four or six posts that are into the ground. There's like new lattice that has been built up around the outside. There were some old rotting boards that are over in a pile. They've torn off and put some lattice underneath, so you can see underneath the building. There's nothing there.
See anything down there, Morris?
There's nothing down there.
What? Nothing.
I just felt something underneath the floor.
Are there any holes in the lattice?
Yeah, there's definitely underneath at the very front where the stairs are, the two steps going into the building, there's like an opening.
Right. They could have ran out while we were in here.
Ah, those little pranks.
Does it look like it's been disturbed there? Are there any footprints or handprints or something like that?
You'd have to get on your hands and knees and go under the stairs to look underneath to see what you...
Look, I'll go under and have a look if you want.
Yeah, you do that. You do that.
All right.
Okay. You climb underneath.
I'm glad I brought three more outfits. So. All right. I take off anything that I don't want to get damaged. Hold my bandana, please.
Yep.
I'll look up your woggle.
It's a little leather.
Okay. And I'm going to climb underneath and see if there's anything right under here. I've got my flashlight.
It's like some bit of weeds, rocks. Could you make a spot hidden, though?
Sure. 41. That is. Where is it? Oh, I've only got 40. All right, I didn't pass.
So close.
Can I use a luck point?
Yes, you can. All right. Of course.
All right. Okay. So I pass. Just exactly. All right. 40.
You crawl underneath. You're looking carefully, and you see all these just rocks. It's just like rocks and bricks and pieces of wood. And you say, what the heck? And you notice there's like an 8-foot-wide circle of rocks embedded in the ground. Like, they're like this high. They're not very high. Those rocks, just like someone's created some kind of a circle of rocks.
What is this?
Anything down there, Pete?
Well, I don't know if there was maybe an old well they filled in or something down here, but it looks like there's a circle of rocks. And I'm going to reach over and see if, I mean, are they big rocks that just the tip is sticking out of the ground? Or
it looks like that. Like, they're kind of pointy and jagged, and they're very heavily mineralized. These are not the local stones, the local gray stones. Like, bits of, there's like crystals and things in them. You can see them. They're,
I mean,
they're
just like regular rock. I got my badge in geology, and I swear to God, these rocks shouldn't be here at all. This isn't granite.
This kind of granite's not here, and it is granite. It's heavily crystalline granite. And you know from your if you want to do geology roll, you could determine how far away it is.
Oh, I don't actually have that as a thing on here. But
you just know some
geology. I'm an Eagle Scout. I have a badge in it.
You're interested in everything. That's the kind of rock you haven't seen around here.
I've never seen this kind of rock around here before, so yeah, I don't know what's going on.
And they're in the ground. I mean, these are like, your assumption is it's a big rock that's been buried with just the point sticking up.
Right. Best I can guess is it's an old well that's been buried and filled in. That's damn odd that it's underneath this cabin.
Well, how big is it?
Would you say about 8 feet across?
About 8 feet across. Not quite the soul width of the narrowest part of the build. Like, the narrowest part is like 15 feet, 16 feet.
Right. That's a pretty big well.
Yeah,
that's a damn big well.
That's a damn big well. Yes, it is.
Maybe it's an old hot tub.
Seriously, Morris, God damn it.
See me back from the day when you were a child and they built everything out of rock?
Yeah, the old rock hot tub.
The rock hot tub next to the rock house and the cave. Well, anyways, I don't know. It's damn peculiar, but I don't know. I don't see any kids down here. There's not much. There's no room to hide down here.
Nope, there's no room to hide. And you just noticing the way the weeds are growing, nothing's been pushed down. There doesn't appear, there's no marks in the soil other than what you've made.
I'm gonna look up at the floor too, see if there's anything.
No, just wooden floor, a few spiders.
All right. Well, I'm coming back out.
Bring one of the rocks with you.
They're buried in the ground. I think they might be a much bigger structure than what I think they are. So I'm just gonna come out. It's no kids under here.
Nope.
All right, guys.
We should get back to that. Get the off. Fire's gonna come out if you don't get back to it.
Yeah, we should get back. Somebody's just pulling our legs here. Someone's messing around.
It's just kids. When does the season open? When do we expect kids to get here?
Couple weeks. Oh, yeah. So it's already summer. There's just a couple weeks jamboree.
We'll post some no trespassing signs on the perimeter tomorrow or the next day.
Good idea.
Yeah. All right. So let's all head. I think we've had a rough, we had a fun night, guys. It's a lot of running around and that. Let's go back to the fire and just let it burn out.
Yes. We'll need to make sure no raccoons went off with my spam.
All right. Well, you get back to the fire. You sit down, have a few more. He has a few more sips of his never-ending flask, his ever-filling flask. Lost one flask.
I've got a bottle of vodka in my mind.
Well, vodka does mean little water in Russian, so.
I can go for a little water right now. So you see, you get back to the camp night over, just the night progresses to the point where you're tired, and everybody just zonks out. And he says, look, I don't want to be, you know, that guy who says you're not scout material, but if anybody doesn't want to sleep in the cabin, you can come up to the house with me. Or I'll sleep down here if you guys want someone. I've got my pistol with me.
I'm not even going to sleep in the cabin. I'm probably going to sleep out by the fire.
Easy peasy.
That's a nice night. I'll definitely take one of them cabin bunks there. Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Well, everybody sleeps where they want to. No issues. He's going to head out to the house if no one really cares. But he welcomes you guys to sleep in the big house as well. He says it's got a couple beds in there. It's not really made for sleeping in, but you know. So the next morning rolls around. Beautiful mornings. There's a rooster down the road, of course, and because you're in the middle of Vermont. And wakes up, you guys. He's got a whole roster of things to do. So he cooks some spam and some potatoes and some eggs on over the fire, just like the kids will be eating, and makes some strong coffee like the kids won't be drinking. And says, okay, so let's, pulls out stuff. You start working on like schedules of events, games, who's coming where, what cabins, what group. He says, you know, we're going to mix the kids so that they're not all one troop and one cabin. So you mix it up. Oh, it's all fun stuff. All
sure. Good.
And it reaches noon. He says, okay, he says, I got to send a couple people to town. I don't know if you can use my truck if you want to, because I can write it off at the cost of the gas. I need you to fill up the gas. I need you to get, he gives you a list of food for the next, because you're going to be there for a couple more days. You're all off on Monday. And a couple miscellaneous things. Says, who, anybody want to go? I need a couple to stay back, but a couple.
I wouldn't mind going and getting the food. Not promising most of it will come back.
Well, that sounds good to me. And anybody else? We need a couple people for carrying stuff, because there's some wood to get to. I need some firewood.
I'll stay. I got some work to do here.
Okay.
I'll chop
up. You were talking about putting up those trespassing signs, didn't you, Pete?
Well, you got to get some for me when you're in town.
Yeah, I'll get some when I'm in town.
Well, I'm just going to tidy up the camp and make sure everything is in order and chop some wood.
I'll go with you, Jake.
Okay. You can help carry the groceries.
Has Morris gotten up yet?
Morris is awake now.
I'm surprised.
Wide awake.
Hasn't gotten the weakest sleep all night.
I need a cigarette.
So, Morris, are you staying? Or?
What time is it?
It's 10 o'clock, Morris.
3:30 in the
afternoon. Is there one of those in the morning as well?
It's in the morning. That's what time it is. Still, barely.
I'm sorry, what time is it, did you just say?
Well, it's about 11 o'clock, say 11 okay. o'clock. A couple of guys are going to town. Jake's going to town, and Ted is going with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, send the old man to carry firewood. Yeah, that's a good one.
Well, anybody else want to go? That would be a good... It's up to you.
There's still room in the truck for one more.
Well, this the property that we're on, it's been here abandoned for a long time, right? It's just come back into the Boy Scouts. There's probably lots of dead wood around. Can't I just chop up some wood and you don't have to bring wood back?
That's true.
Not Boy Scouts?
Yeah, that's true.
You'd have to go into the woods a bit to find some, because it's been pretty cleaned up by the municipal crews because they wanted
to. Damn fuckers. All right. I'll do that though. I'll say, you know, maybe just get one bundle for tonight.
It's just really just for one campfire. So
and I'll see what I can round up. I'll get some kindling and some sticks and stuff like that.
All right. Well, Jake and Ted, you head off into town unless someone else wants to join you. It's easy within a couple. You know, it's like a couple of hours to get the stuff you need to get. And
before they've gone, I say to them, I say, do you guys want to stay at Camp Blackfoot this tonight, or do you want to do Iroquois or Comanche?
I don't really mind whichever. Maybe the one closest to parking.
Yeah, that's Comanche over there.
I'll take Comanche.
All right, yeah, so I will move the camp to Comanche.
Okay.
That'll do, Pete.
I will supervise.
I thought you were going into town.
No. I said, what are you going to do, send the old man to get firewood?
All right, you supervise. You help me supervise.
All right, well, they're heading into town. Victor, you want to do an idea roll there?
An idea roll. I think I made it. Yes, I made it.
All right. Well, they're doing all the heavy lifting and the finding of firewood and moving stuff. You're there for your brains. You're walking around. You kind of poke your head underneath the middle cabin, get on your hands and knees, and looky there. There's a circle of rocks under that one.
Okay. Since I'm actually seeing this, I have anthropology. Would there be anything of an anthropological nature to this that I could deduce?
We'll make a roll.
Ooh, I barely got it, but I got it.
Well, you know for a fact that circles of stones have been used for millennia as locations where, what's the word, Mick? Ceremonies would take place.
Rituals and ceremonies.
Mm-hmm. That's about all you really take from it, because it's not something that usually is this small. But definitely it seems that there's two of them. It's ritualistic is the best way to...
I mosey on down to the other cabin and check it.
There's one under there, too.
That's the one that we're setting up at right now.
Mm-hmm. So we're all three.
What'd you find there, Victor?
Do you know those stone circles are under all of the cabins?
That's weird. I wonder if they're part of the... Maybe they were supposed to be part of the structure.
Maybe they had little round huts there before, or teepees or something.
Maybe. I don't know how long the Swindon family had this place before they left.
Swindon, sure. Well, Mr. Swindon died, remember, in 1935, and that's when his son granted it. You know this, it's common knowledge.
Right, right.
He granted it to the scouts. The mishap, the event happened.
35.
He wasn't given to them. It was given to them for their use. And they maintained ownership until 10 years ago when the company went bankrupt and the grandson, they defaulted on taxes. The municipality took the property back and decided to make it a Boy Scout camp again. Give it to the Boy Scouts. So that's why it hasn't been used till now, because they were wondering what to do with it. But that's what's happening. So
why my statement, of course, was I don't know how long the Swindon family had it before that.
That's right.
So it may have, when he asked about, maybe they had huts or something there. Maybe.
The Swindon family was here, you know, they've been in the community for well over 150 years.
Yeah. Old community.
Old family. Yep. Okay. So yeah,
maybe they had teepees there. Who knows?
But you wouldn't, you wouldn't bury the rocks.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what they had, but whatever they did is they used the same sites to build the cabins over. So,
and could be some kind of ritual.
What? You think they're devil worshippers or something? Don't be silly.
Well, I'm sure there's some Indian tribe from around here.
Yeah, but, well, I don't know. It seems kind of odd.
Well, Ted and, you guys are doing this. Ted and Jake, you hit the town.
Okay.
Yeah.
Your list is easy to, it's easy to fill your list of materials. Everything's available at the stores. People are asking, hey, how's it going? Getting ready for the jamboree. That's going to be bringing a lot of kids and a lot of money when the parents drop them off. They'll be spending stuff here. That's the thought of the local stores.
Yeah.
And, yes, easy. Yeah. Get all your stuff. No problem.
You know, Jake, I got something stuck in my craw. I'm not one to do any of that kind of, you know, research stuff. That's more Vic's line of work. But I gotta see what's going on at this place. You know, because you're an old timer here in this community as well. You know all the weird stuff that went on at that Swindon place. Why don't we stop by the library real quick and see if I can pick up any books on that property?
Well, all right. Just gotta make sure we get there on time and don't miss any of the.
We got plenty of time. And you know, we didn't get anything that was perishable anyways at the store. It'll be fine in the car for a little bit.
All right. That's fine. We can drop by.
It's just right down the road here. Let's just stop by there real quick.
All right. That works.
Right. Library's open. Hardly anybody in there.
All right. I'm going to go to the librarian and ask what book she has or he has on Swindon Lake and just the Swindons in general.
Well, Senji says, well, the microfiche has got all the newspaper records all back to, whenever we started keeping track of the old newspapers and might put him on microfiche. There's some local books on local history over there that are written by a few of the genealogy people, and they point you out to the local history section. So if you want to make a library roll, just to...
Of course, it's the it's my one character that doesn't have library roll skill. All right, let's see.
Well, whatever.
Mine don't either. So good luck.
No, 37 out of 20.
Oh dear.
All right. Well, you're poking around looking.
He's more of a kinetic thinker, not a.
All right. Well, Jake, you've got some. You're a cop. Been around for a while. You know some stuff.
So you want
to do a base roll there?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and do that. Odd four.
Oh, nice. Oh, thank God.
Well, being a cop, you're stumbling around, going, "Well, what's the? Hey, look at this." So let's see. I'm going to roll die here and tell you. The butler went missing the year of Swindon's death. That's something that you didn't remember much about this.
Yes.
So the butler went missing the year of Swindon's death. And
right.
And as you're poking around looking at it, you notice that the year he died, just before he died, his company lost a massive amount of money.
Huh. Butler went missing and place runs out of a ton of money.
Yeah.
Hey, whatever happened to that Thomas Swain? Because I'm not having any luck finding anything, so I just kind of wander over. Didn't he shoot himself or someone shot him or something?
Well, he was found dead in his home with a shot in the belly.
Did they rule that a homicide or suicide?
Not much was dug up after that.
Do we find anything in the books about that?
Well, because you asked those questions, you think to ask the librarian about the butler's name.
Oh, okay, the butler.
Just to see if there's anything. It just comes across that maybe you should ask about that. Okay. And you ask, so she goes, well, and she gives you a set of books. She goes, massive tome of books. She said, it's dated by year. It's put together by the library, very small print. It's every book taken out by year. There's a volume. They maintain the records of this. So if you look back, you can actually see that at the same time that the death occurred, the butler took out numerous books on the occult. Strange books. Weird books about ghosts. Like books that some of them were just garbage. They were like just things that just like pamphlets, something, just anything that they could possibly find. A whole bunch of things went out on ghost stories, fictional things, purported things about fortune telling, all this stuff. They were never returned. And the late fees, there's a little notation, late fees paid by Mr. Swindon.
So the butler took out a bunch of occult books.
Weird stuff, ghosty stuff. Like, just
the hell is he looking at that stuff for?
And Swindon paid the late fees.
After the butler
disappeared. And the butler moved to Arkham, if I...
Yes, he was found in Arkham, Massachusetts, by the family of the missing woman and one of the workers, if I remember right. He was living the high life. would not speak to them and left in a cab. I don't remember anything else out of the police records of that.
Well, the one last thing that you find is you're fiddling around the microfiche and you're just looking around, and the librarian's helping you now because she's into local history. Uh-huh. So she's looking and looking, and she says, "Did you ever see this strange story from that property where the jamboree is happening?" And she pulls out an old yellowed newspaper clipping on much. She goes to the microfiche and pulls it up. And it's like something about a cult. Something about some weird bunch of people who worked at the factory, people who were local loners. They were all arrested and shipped off to the state hospital for investigation. That's all the records she had. Just weird stuff happening in that area.
God, yeah. All back and the missing people, there's a freaking cult over there. What is going on at the Swindon Lake?
I've not ever heard about the cult. That's what's strange, is I've not heard of the cult.
Yeah,
in the
I haven't heard anything ever. Like that. When was that?
That was about 1933.
Yeah, right before Swindon's death.
Well, 1933 was when they searched the property and the canning factory in regards to the missing workers.
Mm-hmm.
There are no signs found, no charges laid at all.
What the hell is Swindon getting up to in that place? I think we should go back and look at the house and see if there's anything at the house.
Not to mention if there's more of these cult people, who knows, maybe they're teenager damn kids are wandering.
We need to make sure, yeah, that the kids are going to be safe there. If there's still stuff like this going on, and I don't know, those stone circles, that's sticking in my craw. That's odd. Librarian, is there anything that the butler took out on rituals or on ancient Indian burial practices or anything like that?
Well, let me look. So she starts digging through the records again, tries to cross-reference. She goes, this stuff is really old. I mean, only when they hand wrote what books were missing. I mean, usually we just get a reference number. Right there. It's some book written about...
The one, yeah.
Some book written... No, this is... It's just about... I think it's like native religion,
mm-hmm.
or Indian religion. So it was written in 1895 by Walter Smythe, Native Religions of the Northwest and Northeast, or Northeast rather, Northeast.
Do you know anything about the Indian tribes that lived around here?
No. Not like that. No. I don't come from here. I mean,
You don't happen to have a copy of this, book here, do you?
Oh no, this, I mean, that was a, it was a book from 1890. It was in our reference section. Even back then it was an old book.
That's unfortunate.
And we have a photograph of the cover.
Mm.
And you look at the cover and it's in the microfiche, it's like they something they pulled. They must have done something, or they have a photograph of it, like a whole bunch of, not really a photograph, it's a hand drawing rather, like a an imprint. And it's a cover. It's a very old title, and there's like a picture on the cover of a circle of rocks in amongst some trees.
I don't know. This is really odd, but I think we should probably get back to the camp and see what the others are up to. I'm a little worried about having the kiddos there if there's still cultists running around. You know, we had any of that shit here. Sorry, ma'am. Sorry, librarian. But I don't know. We had stuff like that around these parts.
Yes,
kids are getting into weird stuff these days.
We do not want the kids involved in this.
You know, I heard something about, isn't D&D, the Dungeons and Dragons, isn't that cult?
Oh, that devil worshiping crap.
Yeah, devil worship crap. Yeah,
kids are suicide.
Yeah, that Ozzy Osbourne fella biting off bats' heads and all that crap.
All right. Well,
Alice Cooper.
Oh, Well, she's got to close the library down because, you know, they close early on Saturday, so she's kind of ushering you out the door. And, you know, thank you very much. You can come back on Monday. Kind of pushes you out.
We're still talking about the whole worship as we're walking up and
frightening
that,
walkers by.
That evil D&D cult.
Right. So you guys get in your vehicle, or whatever, I would assume you're heading back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Back to the camp. Pete, Morris, what you guys doing? Victor?
I am supervising.
Excellent. That's your best
I job. Am currently shirtless and chopping wood.
I'm a lumberjack and I don't care.
I've just got back from answering a call of nature and I feel strangely energized and ready to work again.
All right, well, you guys are getting your things done. And
he has the most invigorating pisses.
You've pretty much finished your list of things that you were going to do.
All the plants, wherever he pisses, all the plants are doing this now.
The grass is straight up. The wind does not move that grass. So you've pretty much finished your list of duties, and you're freed up.
And we've moved the camp to B.
Yep, you've moved the camp to B. And,
strange. There's these rock circles. I don't know what that is all about.
So the truck pulls into the parking lot. I mean, I know I'm kind of skipping ahead a little bit, but for time purposes, okay. The truck returns. You guys unload the goods.
Hope you don't mind. I bought some extra oatmeal creams.
Yeah, that's all right. So I can write it all off.
I figured you'd spend some extra time in the little Debbie section.
Ate about half of them on the way here.
Damn strange, guys. You know what? We found that there are those stern circles under every single one of the cabins.
Excuse me?
We found a stone circle under that cabin, and we found one under that one over there.
There's some weird shit going on here. I knew it. Underneath
our cabin over here.
Yes, Ted had a whim to go by the library and look up some stuff about the Swindon family and the butler.
You know a lot about this area. You ever hear anything about a cult?
A cult?
Around these parts?
Well, I know that we're American Indians in this area.
No. We're talking recent. We're talking around when Swindon...
talking about 1933.
No, you know, to be honest, I don't know that much about the Swindon family. I mean, I knew the legend. Everybody knows the freaking legend about what happened here. Yeah. I say legend. It wasn't a legend. It was a fact. The kids all disappeared. Nine kids.
Right.
Nine of them, no sign.
Hey, what about you, Walt? Do you hear anything about cults and devil worship?
Nine kids. That's three per cabin.
You know, I don't know.
Nice that you pointed that out, Victor.
I don't know if there was a correlation there or not, if it was three from different cabins. Or.
Well, you said it had... that there were three flags, one with each color. Yes,
game. It was a competition between the cabins.
But the kids were all mixed up, and the kids were everywhere.
This is too much to be.
Now I'm just worried about the kids' safety. I was telling Jake about the devil worshiping craze and the Satan stuff that's going around and the crack and. It's just
Ozzy Osbourne, Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
Pat Boone.
Oh, do you know if you play a Pat Boone record backwards, it says, do what your parents tell you, read the Bible.
we're talking 52 years ago, though. So, I mean, if there was some weirdo cult, if Swindon was part of some weirdo cult, wouldn't that been gone for a long time now?
What about them people last night that were running around?
Exactly
here?
What Ted's saying. Those two people, damn kids.
That was kids. Kids don't join cults.
I hear they take dogs out of backyards on Halloween and sacrifice them. Maybe they're doing that to the kids too.
Look, here's the thing. We really don't know what's going on here because this is the first time that we've occupied this site. Since the municipality came and fixed it up.
Yes.
So there could be, you know, this could be one of those weirdo places. I mean, look, you have 9 kids that disappeared. This is exactly the kind of place some teenage devil worshippers would think that they could come to call up the spirits of the dead or something.
So and it's got a leg. I think we should have a lot more security when the kids are here. I think
you get my sense.
That makes sense. Yep.
We should have a leader at each of the cabins. I think we should. I think we should hold. We should be packing heat.
Did you get my signs?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. We got your signs before we went to library.
How do you think signs are going to keep these devil worship?
Well, let me run and
post maybe this one.
You know, here's the thing. Maybe the devil. You know, they don't want to get caught. So maybe they didn't know we were here. And if I put up the signs, then they'll know we're here.
So apparently, according to Victor, they were giggling.
Yeah. What time is it? We still got enough time that I can run around and put the signs on the perimeter?
Yep. Yeah, you can go run around, put some signs around the perimeter.
It'll take you about 15, 20 minutes.
Yep, and then it's going to be close to dinner time. Right. So and there's a bit of a storm brewing, Walter points out. He goes, you know, you got some storms going. Why don't we eat in the house tonight?
All right.
I've been meaning to take a look at that place anyway.
Yeah, so he's green.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to run and do that, and I'll meet you back at the house in 30 minutes.
Sounds good.
Sounds fine. I'll probably meet you halfway. Still heading there.
Come on.
So Walter calls me about over there.
So I'm going to go down around the bottom and up back to the parking lot and then across to the house.
Okay.
Putting signs.
All right. Well, Walter's heading back to the house. He's getting groceries. There's a kitchen with gas. No electricity right now, but there's gas set up. So he starts the stove and he starts cooking dinner. And, so he's getting it ready for everybody. And he says, look, if you...
Uh-oh.
It's all set.
I'm sorry, you got cut off. He says, look at...
Oh, he says, look, if you guys want to, you know, the storm's brewing, it sounds like it's from the distance, I can hear the lightning. If you guys want to, you know, if it gets bad, you can just camp here tonight. It makes sense. It's up to you.
Certainly.
All right.
Besides, I want to take a look at this place, have a quick look about.
Excellent. Well, he says, there's a box of candles over there, Jake, if you want to take some time and, you know, set them up. Because, I mean, we haven't got electricity in here right now. We've got a couple lanterns. That's all we really got.
Sure thing. I brought a box of matches with me anyway.
Mick, or Morris probably has some too.
Oh yeah. I've got a lighter.
So can we say that I've gotten back?
You've gotten back. Dinner's ready. He's got the table.
I walk
set
in. There's candles lit. I'm like, how romantic.
Well, there's no electricity. We get not much we can do.
Yeah.
There is a telephone. It's hooked up, apparently.
Oh, good.
So you guys are eating dinner and have your dinner, talking about the next day, talking about plans. Like, the next day is pretty laid back. Storm's really going on outside, lots of lightning, and you're thinking, I wouldn't want to be in a cabin during this. And, the evening wears on, and it's getting close to 9 o'clock or so. There's a fireplace. Starts a fire in the fireplace. And he's got some chairs around, so everybody's having a nice little sit down. A little chat ensues.
This is the way to camp. Damn.
Exactly. There's no leaky roofs.
All these creepy things that you said you found in town.
Right.
You guys want to have a little fun? You want to explore the house?
Yeah.
I've done a quick look around, didn't see much. I was just laying down candles, really.
Is there a basement?
There does not appear to be a basement here.
Right. What he said.
All right, well.
Because you didn't know otherwise.
Is there an upstairs and a downstairs, or is it single story?
Well, you walk in the stairs. It's like two houses stuck together in size.
Okay.
You walk in the front door. There's a stairs leading up, and there's a kitchen, dining room area. There's a door going to the left, and that's where there's like a library seating area. And there's another door, and as you wander around, it's like a master, not a living room. I guess there's a difference between the special room where you have the special guests.
A parlor.
A parlor. And there's another stair going on. Yeah, the stairs setting, just inside that, it's stairs going upstairs.
I'll take it there's not much in the way of furniture.
No, there's nothing.
Yeah, it's the furniture all. Yeah, okay.
Just a few desks that have been set in here, just stuff left over from municipal offices. It's it's not a fancy setup. It's really just, you know, whenever the scouts use it, they can bring in what they want.
Is there a basement or an attic?
There is no stairway going down that you can see.
All right. Is there maybe an attic, though?
Do you want to do an idea roll?
Sure. Of course, I'm kind of stealing that from Nick, but...
Go for it.
Well, whoever. I didn't hear. Sorry.
I missed by 10 anyway. I have an idea of 65, rolled 75.
Nick, do you want to roll?
Okay.
I'm going to roll 2 just because Ted wanted to look around anyway, so... Feeling it right.
No, I got a 90 out of 70.
I think I got it.
You've been doing too much cocaine there, Morse.
I got it.
I resent the implication.
There was a Morris. You notice, there's a second floor, Ted.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the second floor, but there's also a peak above the second floor that had a small octagonal window. So there is either an attic or a ceiling space, but that's if you're going to wander up to the second floor,
I'm going to look around. Yeah, after I've had a couple beers, I'm going to go up there with my flashlight.
Look for any signs of devil worship.
Don't joke about that.
And do be careful up there. Could be loose floorboards.
What are signs of devil worship? What, black candles?
Pentagrams,
flies,
priest albums,
Dungeons and Dragons books,
multi-sided dice,
yes.
Sean,
yes.
You said there was a library in here.
A former library, yes.
Keeper rule book.
Okay, lots of bookshelves, no books.
I'm gonna try something. They're gonna go up there. I'm gonna walk around and see if. Based on, you know, just sort of looking, just walking through the rooms, if there's like any hidden spaces, you know, you walk across this room and then you realize that, wait a second, there's a missing 5 feet here.
Make a roll. What would you roll? You would roll spot hidden, I guess.
Spot hidden.
Makes sense.
Got a 42, which is, nope, that doesn't pass. I got a 40 in spot hidden.
Do you want to use luck?
Well... Yeah, I'll use luck. What the hell? 2 points.
All right. You're walking around what would be called the library, the second room, the middle room.
Okay.
And something doesn't quite fit. There seems to be a space. The distance doesn't seem right.
Okay.
The distance along the north wall just seems a little off. And when you walked around the building before, you didn't see any back doors or anything.
So I'm going to go over to that wall and walk along it and see if I can find a latch or a push thing where it pops open the door or...
Tap, 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 thunk, 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 thunk. Easy to find. So you find a section. So you rub your hands over it. You can actually find it's hidden in the wall boards. There's a seam, and when you push on it, the door, like a doorway... Like a section of the wall just slides in on rollers.
Uh-huh.
And there's a stairway leading up.
Okay. Holy shit, guys.
What, Pete?
What, have you found some beer?
I found a secret door.
What?
No shit.
I found a secret staircase.
I'll go check it out.
I'm slowly getting up.
Walter's rubbing his hands here. He goes, oh, this is interesting.
Do you understand? Be prepared. That is our motto.
There's a very narrow stairway.
real quick, did I find anything upstairs or anything of note?
The bedrooms are just empty rooms. Okay. You didn't notice there's no signs of animals. It's been cleaned recently by the municipality. The rooms are tidy and clean, and there's nothing of note.
Okay. Because I hear downstairs, so I'm kind of just quickly looking around. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go investigate the...
So you said it's a narrow stairway going up?
Mm-hmm. Steep and narrow.
Jake, you go first.
Jake? Will Jake fit?
Okay.
No, I'll try to fit.
I'm sorry. I'm teasing you so much, Jake.
You can squeeze up. You can squeeze up it, Jake. You can.
What if he gets halfway up and then we get stuck and we'll never?
You'd have to get the butter you bought at the grocery store. And
that's a great idea, though. Sending Jake up first because he'll sort of brush off all the spiders' webs and dust.
True. Yeah.
Clean it.
He's like a human slipper.
Yeah. He's like a gelatinous cube, except that.
I don't eat through my mouth. I just eat through osmosis.
Not that I know anything about Dungeons and Dragons.
Gelatinous cube, right. Devil worship.
All right.
Okay, so you get up, and there's another. It's very steep, and there is instead of a doorway, it actually ends in a trap door, and it's not locked. You push it. It just opens. Yeah. And you are in. You go in. It's very dark. There's only one light. And not one light. There's only one window. And, of course, that's, you know, the only flashes of light from lightning in the distance are coming through that. So you can't really see what's around in the room.
Is that the octagonal window?
It's the octagonal window, yes.
Well, we've got five flashlights.
Yeah, but I'm definitely pulling out my mag flashlight and scanning the room.
What you see excites you and frightens you at the same time. It's like one of those police VHS tapes you watched about what to look for satanic abuse.
And oh, dear.
You look inside. It's a secret room. It's the peak of the room, the peak of the building. And there is a wall full of books. There are strange bags sitting on a desk table. There are old cloaks or something hanging on hooks on the wall. There's two set on the floor. There's two piles of some kind of cloth materials in a clear pile in the corner. And you can see like there's markings on the floor, strange markings, and like there's piles of melted candle wax everywhere.
I believe we found the Satanic Training Club, boys.
Don't stop. Get off the ladder. We want to come up too and see.
Fine. I'll move. Impatient.
It's not a tight fit. It's just a shallow fit because the roof. But you all get up there. You all see all of these things. It's
holy crap.
The things hanging on the hooks are like cloaks with hoods. They're black and red.
I knew it.
I'm going to actually go up to the shelf of books and take a look and see what they are.
Swindon was into some crazy shit.
Can you make a spot?
He murdered hidden those people.
Spot hidden?
Those kids, too.
72. They're D&D books.
Hey, do you even read?
Do you even read, bro?
He's a cop.
I'm a cop. I don't need to be literate.
I'm a school teacher. I'm going to go look and see what's in the books as well. 32, I passed.
You see, there's all sorts of strangely titled, the mythos of this. There's Latin books. There's encyclopedias or dictionaries.
Latin? I speak Latin.
These books are in Latin. Look at this.
Of course you speak Latin, you old. You invented Latin.
I look at some of the Latin books.
He was there when it was the lingua franca.
Does anybody have any kind of a background in the esoteric arts or mysteries of past?
I got 15.
I do. I have 5% in a cult.
I got 15.
Ooh, Pete, dang.
That's better than 5.
Mm-hmm. I've also got 5% in a cult. I have seen Leonard Nimoy's In Search Of series.
I watched Leonard Nimoy singing Bilbo Baggins' song.
Well, then you've seen everything.
I got 28 out of, 15 is what I needed, so no.
Yeah, no. They're just strange books. These are strange. You don't know if they're, you assume they're real because they're so old.
Can I try with my 5, just in case?
Absolutely.
Do I recognize any of the books that were mentioned at the library that were missing?
Yeah. Roll spot.
Spot hidden. Can I spend some luck? I got a 7.
Yes, you can.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to spend 2 luck in that case. And did you know, it just so happens, I seem to remember watching an episode of In Search Of, in which...
one particular book was mentioned.
I did pass my spot hidden, by the way.
Well, you see the books, a number of the books that were listed in that journal of what was missing, the books mm-hmm. that were missing in the library.
Okay.
And Morris, you recognize that these are actually real. That's what you get out of this is, these are actual real books that have been, you've read of, you've heard of over the years, of like actual books that people talked about when they talk about real witchcraft and stuff.
You know what?
I speak fluent Latin.
So I mentioned to them, I say, you know, the librarian said that the butler checked out several of these titles. And Swindon paid the late fees on it. I bet you the butler got these books from the library for Swindon.
That would make sense.
And so Swindon's name wouldn't be associated with all this nonsense.
Why would a rich man who has a butler bother to go to the library when he could just send his butler to get him the stuff? It's just rich person shit.
Right. But that is true. And, what is that book? Native Religions by Hutet?
Smythe or something like that.
Yeah.
Do you happen to see that here?
Yeah. It's right here.
That's not right.
What's in the bags?
Hopefully just mold.
Powders.
Skulls of small
children. Powders. Chalk. Ash.
Oh, dear.
There's stuff drawn on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Magic circles and shit.
Yep, some kind of strange circles and stuff, symbols and that you don't
like. This looks like it's freaking right out of either they were worshiping Satan up here or he was playing a really serious game of Dungeons and Dragons.
All I can say, Pete, is we might want to lock this area off if we let the kids in.
Well, we need to clean this out.
We're going to clean this up, but I'd still lock this place up.
Well, we got a couple of weeks before... the kids
Jake,
show up.
We need to call the FBI. We need to call them in here. They've got to have a satanic unit that works on stuff like this.
Jake, can you make a roll? Spot hidden? Sorry.
Sure.
The Apple Valley Satanic Unit.
Yeah.
Apple Valley Satanic Unit.
We have to form it.
Great. This is the starting group of that. Great. I rolled 11 out of 60 for spot hidden.
Okay, you're poking around in the robes, and you go, wow, these are pretty freaky. They're all different sizes and stuff. And in the pocket of one of the robes, you find a piece of paper. And on the piece of paper is written, move to BSMT.
Move to...
It's got a book, like not a book. It's got the name of something you can't really read. It's been torn, but then you read the words move to BSMT.
Move to. Hey, everybody, look at this.
Move to BSMT.
BSMT.
BSMT. Is it
basement?
Like dots between the letters, or is it one word?
One word.
Basement.
Basement.
Basement. Or move to Bullshit Mountain.
I prefer it be that one, but basement.
That's in Virginia. That's miles away.
But there's no basement. There's got to be. We found one secret door. There must be another secret door.
Is there any books with those initials?
You can roll for a look, but yeah, go ahead.
I got it.
No, there's no book with that. It's major roll.
Nice roll to find nothing.
Except at least now we're
sure there's nothing.
I succeeded in finding nothing.
That's good. That's a good thing. Now we know there's nothing.
You know there's nothing.
Okay.
Yep. At least we got that out of the way.
I'm going to very excitedly run back down the little narrow stairs and see if I can find.
Wait for me. You know what? Just go ahead.
Walter says, you guys go ahead. Like I'm going to start documenting all this. He takes out his book and he starts, I'm going to start documenting everything that's in here.
Yes, write down everything. And if you brought one of them Vivitar cameras, start taking pictures.
The rotating disc?
The one that has the sliding front that you slip yourself in. Yeah. Just... Yes.
It's 1987. Everyone's got a little 110 cartridge camera in their pocket.
Yeah. The film is like this wide.
Yeah.
All right. So who's going downstairs to search?
I just immediately ran. I'm first.
Pete's already down. I'm following somewhat close behind.
Okay, Victor, what are you doing? Morris, Ted?
I'm staying with Walter.
I can't wait to be on Donahue as the person who exposed the cultists of Apple Valley. So I'm excitedly hunting around for more cults paraphernalia downstairs.
Of course, the one with the hero complex has a Tom Selleck mustache.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm sorely tempted to lie because, as I said, I was going to go downstairs and search the walls. I just went ahead and rolled a spot hidden roll, and I got I got a double zero.
There's a big giant carpet on the floor, and you walk over it, and your foot scuffs, and you're like, "What the?" You feel underneath the carpet a seam in the floor.
Okay, well, actually, what I said is I got a double zero, which is the worst possible.
That's
a broken piece of wood, and you don't find anything.
Your eyes fall out.
So I walk back and forth across the carpet. I stomp my feet. I just, where could it be?
I'm gonna try to because I'm obsessed. Oh my god! I got it. I got it. Yeah, 71 out of 75.
On the opposite side of the room from Pete, where he's picking away at a piece of wood flooring that isn't really anything, you find underneath the carpet an actual shape. Like you can feel it with your toes, and the carpet's nailed down. This is why nobody's ever moved it.
All right, come on. Someone help me pull this up.
Why are you pulling up the carpet? Shit.
Just get over here, dumbass. Come on.
There's a trapdoor.
Stop picking at your nose.
Oh, my God, there's a trapdoor. I don't think that's it, though. Double zero.
No, I've got to keep looking. That's not
right, go head outside. Go head outside and look up at the sky with your mouth open.
He's like, there's got to be a way. He's like, there's got to be a way to the basement if I only knew what it was.
There we are going downstairs in the background as he's going, I wonder where it is.
All right. So go ahead.
All right, so I'm going to rip up the carpet, is it nailed shut? Is it open? Is it?
There's a couple pins set into the floor that you have to actually use like your jackknife to shuffle off to the side. It's very wet. Right. It's well set in.
I'll jam my knife in there and pry it open. Yeah,
it opens up. It opens up easily and well creakily, and the wood's a little bit swollen. So you open it. And there's a set of stairs going down. There's like six or seven stairs, and you can see a dirt floor below and lots of little bits of rocks and such. It's not really a basement. It's like a crawl space.
All right. I'm going to say, hold on just a sec, guys. And I'm going to run to my bag and grab my little Glock, mm-hmm. stick that in my pocket, and then I have my little light out.
Oh, good job, Ted.
All right. Let's go get these assholes.
Are you telling the others?
I say in my best Tom Selleck voice.
All right. Tom Selleck sounds like that.
Victor and Morris, you guys are still up in the attic?
I'm up in the attic. I didn't know if Morris stayed.
Did you stay, Morris?
I'm still up in the attic. I was having a look through the books.
You notice Walter has taken a couple of books off the shelf. You don't think anything of it at first. And he's got them laid out, and you hear him muttering to himself. And then he turns around. He looks a little different. And he's facing this circle on the floor. You look closely. It's burnt into the floor. It's like engraved in the floor. And he's walking over to it, and he walks into the center of this. And he starts repeating what he's reading out of one of the books.
I walk over.
And you start... The storm is picking up outside, and your flashlights are flickering. And he's doing something.
I walk over to him and shake him. Are you okay?
Shoves you aside. Says, leave me be. Shoot it down and help your friends.
Walter, what are you doing?
He's reading more. He's waving his hands. He's reaching into the pocket of one of the robes. And there's one of the bags there. He's taking out some of the powdery substance. He's turning around in a circle and sprinkling it around the outside of the circle.
Oh, shit. I'm going to run downstairs.
What language is he speaking?
Not one you know.
Fellas. Fellas.
That's definitely Morse.
We found the trap door. Come on down. We're going to...
No. I think I found your devil worshipper.
What? Where?
What the heck?
Victor?
Walter's up in the attic. He's up to some crazy shit.
You try to grab a hold of him, and it's like the place where he's placed this powder around him. You can't go past that the edge of that.
It's like a barrier.
Take my foot and scrape the powder off.
Make a roll.
A what?
Just roll against.
Should get Morris back up here. He could snip that stuff off the floor.
Save us powder scraping.
Oh, five. I cannot believe the old man made a dexterity roll. Oh, five out of.
You are able to break the edge of this circle of powder that he's placed. Because you can see it, and you kick it. And you're able to push your toe, and you break the circle. And the light that was forming above him starts to drop down and go into, at the base, of at the edge of the floor, into that edge of where you've kicked the powder away, into where he is. And this light sucks into him, and he starts yelling, what did you do? What did you do? And he's screaming.
I think at this point in time, I might want to back up.
Can we hear the screaming downstairs?
You can hear screaming and a roaring sound.
Listen. Get up there.
Jake's definitely going to start getting up there, and he's got his 357 out.
Okay, Morris, you may, you're seeing something horrible. You're seeing this man inside this cylinder. Light shoot into it. The light seems to have faces within it, and the man inside is literally starting to melt and burn in front of you. So you need to do a sanity roll.
I'm seeing this, or Victor's seeing this.
Oh, Victor, I'm sorry. Victor's seeing this. Yes, you ran down the stairs. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I didn't expect that one to work out very well. I got a terrible sanity.
The old man's cracking.
You take three.
It's from studying all that Latin. Latin conjugations will drive you crazy.
I can survive a three, but man, it's getting ugly.
But this is not going well for Walter inside the cylinder. His plans are failing, and he is screaming and melting away. So by the time Jake gets upstairs, Jake, you get to see this as well, so you need to make a sanity roll.
Oh, joy. Let's see. 22 out of 65.
Okay, so you only take one because you're a cop. You've seen all kinds of this stuff before. Like the back behind the 7-Eleven.
What's going on there? Is Victor all right? Let me have a look.
This is definitely not okay. Do not come up.
It's too late. I'm already... Oh, what the hell's going on?
Yep. And Morris, you pop up. You see the same thing. It's ending, but you still see the melting face of Walter as he drops to the floor in this slowly dimming cylinder of greenish light.
Well, I rolled an 83 out of 65.
You as well take three sanity.
I only started off with 50.
Hey, you have 50, 50 chance.
I need to steady my nose. I don't even care now that I'm standing next to a cop at this moment. I'm just going to...
And this time I'll let you.
This time, and I'm looking like Al Pacino with my nose just covered in...
Ted, are you going down in the basement right now, or are you going to murder this and come up again?
Ted's like, all right, the cops got this. Pete, you're going to come with me? You can come on Sally, Jesse, Raphael with me.
Well, I was just going to say that I'm convinced that whatever is going on here is satanic, and that whatever is going on with the screaming upstairs, it's got to be related to what's going on downstairs. So, yes, I'm going down with you.
All right, let's go. We got this.
I'm just leaving.
I've got my flashlight.
I'm leaving the attic, and I'm running downstairs.
All right.
I have my gun out because I hear the screaming, and I got the torch, and I'm like, let's go get those assholes.
Well, I'll resolve the upstairs in a moment. You go downstairs, down the stairs. It's a crawl space basement. Like, it's a rock floor, dirt floor. There's no poured concrete back then when this was made. It's maybe 5.5 feet tall. And you walk through the basement, and it's very airy. This is one thing you're finding interesting, that it's well ventilated. There's a lot of fallen rock. I mean, it's like they built the house over top of a pit of some sort. You pass beyond the rocks, and there's like another pile of rocks and debris. It could have been from an older house or some other structure that may have existed before. And you go past beyond to the very edge, the very west, the southern end of the house. Want to be west, western end of the house. And you see bones. Many, many bones. And there are small bones and big bones. So you have to make a sanity roll as well, Ted.
Okay.
And Pete.
All right.
Got a 41. One. That's my sanity.
I failed.
No, I'm
80 fine. Out of 70.
All right. Well, you take 3, Ted.
My worst fears are coming to life.
Take 1.
Okay. I'm just thinking at this point that this is what we're expecting.
No, you are not expecting to see a bunch of bones. Like, this is something total. And you notice the ventilation. One thing you do see is, like, the ventilation. The floor, it actually seems to be, there's an opening in the floor, and it goes off to a little... like, it seems like there's a pathway going out for, like, the basement wall is actually open at one end. But yeah, you find 14 skeletons in total.
Oh my God.
I'm really shaken. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
It's just a pile, right?
They're laying out. They're laying out like as if bodies had been laying out.
Oh my God.
Like all the bones are together.
I'm really shaken, but I'm kind of trying to do the math in my head. So I know there's the 9 Boy Scouts, and then the 2 workers and the maid. So 9, 10, 11, 12. So I'm like trying to count it up. I'm like, holy shit, holy shit. We found the bodies. We found the bodies. This is them.
We did. What's that over there? What's that passageway?
Oh God! All right, so he's trying to steal up, but you can see his hand is shaking. But he's like, "All right, let's go avenge these boys."
Well, the passageway, just to fast track a bit, you look forward. It actually just leads to another room on the far, like an excavated area, and in that area is all of the personal belongings
of all the kids. Oh crap!
Clothing laying out, folded neatly.
At least we'll be able to identify who they are.
This monster.
He's a monster. What the hell's all the screaming going on upstairs?
Yeah, let's go check that out. I think we got this area covered.
Is there anything else down here?
That's all you see. This is generally what you find. But there's one thing, and could you both make a spot hidden?
5.
You see 3 sashes.
Oh, one.
3 sashes. They're Boy Scout sashes.
I got a 5 and you beat me.
I know. Yeah.
See the 3.
I never get good rolls.
Okay, 3 scout sashes.
3 scout sashes. Now they're off to the. They're off like in amongst the clothing, but they're piled separately.
Okay.
And you get a sort of you hear something. You don't even have to do a listen to it. This is something that comes into your head, and it says, we have to finish it. Please let us finish it.
We have to finish it.
Do they sound like children, or does it sound okay?
Yes, these are children's voices say, we have to finish it. Please let us finish it.
What the hell is that?
What do they want to finish? They want to finish their game of Night Scout?
Yeah, are the sashes from like the 30s?
They're very old. Yeah. Very old.
Should we
finish it? What the hell is going on here?
Should we take them to the Camp Iroquois?
Yeah, let's take them out of here. See what happens. So I'll go ahead and gather them up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. From upstairs, what are you guys doing upstairs now? Now that the light's gone out, there's nothing but a pile of ash inside the circle of whatever that was.
I'm basically going to say, we need to get out of here and start heading downstairs.
Reach inside the circle and grab the book and pull it out of the circle.
Oh, it's destroyed.
Oh, okay.
Reach into the ashes of the dead guy.
So you guys are going downstairs then?
Yeah. All
right. Just don't let Morse get any of this. He might go.
All right, so you go downstairs. You guys have gone upstairs with the sashes. I assume you've explained everything you've all seen.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm going to leave them to explain it. I'm going to run these over to the Iroquois camp.
All right. Okay. You run. It's raining out. It's a bit of a storm, but not as bad as it was, but it's still storming out. You arrive at the Iroquois camp.
I'm going to...
In the fire pit.
I was going to say, I'm going to try to keep them dry so that when we get there, I can toss them into the fire.
The fire wasn't there earlier.
Okay. But it's there. And it's raining.
But at this point, I'm expecting supernatural. So here's the fire.
You throw them in the fire.
There's a fire right over there.
The fire glows red, blue, green. Flash, flash, flash. There's a whoosh, the fire goes out. And then you hear a noise, and off to your left in the woods, you see three misty figures just move into the woods and vanish. Okay.
So I stand there in the rain and just sort of contemplate everything that's happened.
And that's it.
Ooh.
Yay.
The old man saved the day.
Yay.
It's a creepy story. It's a creepy story we can tell around a campfire sometimes.
Yeah. We got a campfire vibe.
All right.
Nope, we're closing this place down.
Do you want to know what was going on?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was happening is Mr. Swindon, for years, he was super wealthy, got bored with being wealthy, started being interested in esoteric things. He met the butler. Eventually, they got talking over drinks one night, and their mutual interest in the occult fermented. They found mutually, the same kind of persons within the Vermont wilderness, because it's a strange place to live. And eventually, they all sort of read up a lot and formed their own little cult. They started doing rituals of sorts, and they decided that they would have contact of the beyond, and they were going to try to contact Azathoth, which made no sense whatsoever. So in their attempt to do magic, they accidentally summoned Bianchis, which you don't know what they are, of course, as the characters. Uncontrollable. They thought, well, we can use these. We've read about these. We can use these to fly off to other planes of existence, whatever. But the Bianchis needed to feed. And they would bring people. They would bring visitors to the property. And when the son found out what the father had been doing, his son shot the father in the stomach. But the Bianchis were still loose. So they and the cultists captured the children, fed them to the Bianchis, hoping that they could control them better. Didn't work out so well. And the butler came, and the butler actually returned. He worked with the cultists, and you don't know what happened after that. You just know that they vanished from the property.
What was the deal with Walter? Was he part of the cult? Or?
Yeah, what happened with him?
Walter, ex-military. The reason he wanders the Eastern Seaboard is because he's been interested in the cult forever. He's been searching for this exact sort of thing. And he had heard rumors through his contacts that something in this general vicinity had been happening, especially on the property. So he was actually volunteered to be the leader of this jamboree, or the person organizing it for this very purpose, so he could find out what was happening, to look for esoteric or magical tomes. He was trying to raise something himself. You don't know what, but he was trying to do what they did.
Thanks to the crazy old teacher, he failed miserably.
I'd like to just point out, for the benefit of any viewers, that at no stage was my character Morris actually taking any drugs. He was taking perfectly harmless substance known as toot.
All right, folks. Our players included Jeff Beck, Jerry Bryant, McSwan, Troy Wheeldryer, and myself, with Sean Little as the Keeper of the Secrets. Our musical intro, Come Play With Me, was written by Kevin McLeod and is credited in the description below. We're currently producing 4 shows a week, with music and sound effects added in post-production in order to create a richer listener experience. We provide audio-only versions of our shows free for you to download from Podbean or iTunes. Patrons of our show can now enjoy recordings of our pre- and post-game conversations. If you'd like to become a patron, visit our Patreon account. Just $1 or $2 a month will help a lot. Like, share, and subscribe to our channel for updates on our latest shows, and leave us some comments. We love hearing from you. This is Tom Raley, together with all of the members of our gaming club, inviting you to journey with us once again into the darkness for another adventure into the universe of H.P. Lovecraft and the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. Until next time, good luck and good gaming.